Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. I'd like to begin reading with verse 22 and to read on down through the end of the chapter at verse 27. Matthew 17, verses 22 through 27. And let's remember as we come to this Word of God that this is the Word of God, that this has been breathed out by the Spirit of Christ. And so it comes to us with exactly the same authority as if Jesus himself were standing in front of us saying these words, because he is through his Spirit, through his Word. So let's stand out of reverence for the reading of the words of our Lord. Matthew writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "As they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day.' And they were greatly distressed. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the half-shekel tax went up to Peter and said, 'Does your teacher not pay the tax?' He said, 'Yes.' And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, 'What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?' And when he said, 'From others,' Jesus said to him, 'Then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself.'" Let's pray. Holy Father, we stand here in front of your word, and Father, we ask this morning that you would put us under your word. Father, we ask this morning that your word would diagnose us, that it would dissect us, that it would cut us apart. Father, I pray and I ask that your Holy Spirit would be among us this morning. Father, I pray for those in this room who don't know Christ, that Father, that they will by the end of this service. I pray, Father, for those who are discouraged in this room, that Father, that they will be built up by the end of this service. Father, I pray for those who are locked in unforgiveness or in anxiety or in fear or in bitterness, or Father, whatever it is that is keeping us from conformity to Christ, Father, through your word this morning, chisel all of that away. And we ask that in the name of our Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Well, they say a man should always dress for the job he wants. So why am I dressed up like a pirate in this restaurant? It's all because some hacker stole my identity, and now I'm in here every evening serving chowder and iced tea. I should have gone to freecreditreport.com. I'd have seen this coming at me like an atom bomb. They monitor your credit and give you email alerts so you don't end up selling fish to tourists in t-shirts. Now, if you do not know those words, you are highly, highly blessed, because it means that you watch virtually no television of any kind. But for most people in this room, you're very familiar with those words because they play over and over and over again. And somebody somewhere has planned exactly how to get you to remember those words. They put it in a catchy jingle, which you'll find yourself singing and humming. And the very fact that I have referenced it today means that that song is going to be playing in some of your heads for a little while. Even during the service, you'll be trying to get it out. Some of you will be driving home and you'll be humming those tunes in your mind, because somebody knows how to use those words in order to get you to remember so that they can sell you something. But they also know that the very way that they're packaging the product, it is a freecreditreport.com. A free credit report. But what you don't remember, and what almost no one in this room, even those who have heard that advertisement so many times that you can recite it along with me, we could sing it probably congregationally together here to our shame, but what no one remembers is that at the very end of this very catchy jingle, someone says in very hushed tones, "Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage." I don't know what that means. Until you go to freecreditreport.com and you recognize that the free credit report is going to cost you $14.95 a month. $14.95 every month you are paying to get a free credit report. And after all, that only makes sense because who is paying for the free credit report? This isn't a government program. Somebody is having to recoup some kind of income somewhere, but they know that more people are going to be likely to buy this product if they think it's free. There is something in us that loves the idea of freedom. We love the idea of being free from bills. We love the idea of being free from people telling us what to do. We love the idea of having our own personal and financial and spiritual and emotional and moral freedom. All of us love that, and all of us crave after that. Now, some of that is because we're Americans. Some of that is because we live in this kind of a world at this time in the history of the world. But some of it is just because we are human. And there is something within human nature right now that craves to be free and to protect the freedoms that we have, even our own little collections of rights. That's exactly what is happening in this text. In this story, when Matthew tells us about a time in which Jesus and his disciples, they are moving on from the mountain. They are moving on from this place where Jesus exploded into light. And as they're walking, as they're traveling here through Galilee, Matthew tells us that Jesus is talking to his disciples and he tells them again what he has already told them before, that he's going to be arrested, that he's going to be betrayed, that he's going to be handed over to evildoers, that he's going to be killed, executed, that he's going to be raised on the third day. He gives them this information, but Matthew tells us that when he says this, they were greatly distressed. Now, why are they distressed? It could have been that they felt sorry for Jesus. It could have been that they really feared that Jesus was losing his mind or that he was somehow cracking under the pressure. They probably said to him exactly the same kinds of things that Peter had said earlier. No, 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 Lord. Never is this going to happen to you. We will never let this happen to you. Please don't talk this way again. Well, you would at the family dinner when Grandma says, well, this time next year, if I'm living. Oh, Grandma, you'll be here. Don't say that. Don't talk like that. They're standing there with Jesus. Please don't talk about these things in this way, Jesus. This is morbid. They're distressed. But then Matthew takes you to something that seems to be a much more practical, a much more mundane issue, the paying of a bill. The paying of a bill, and in this bill payment and the question of whether or not to pay it, Jesus signals something to us about the way that we are to surrender our freedoms, the way that we are to not hold so rigidly to our rights. And in so doing, Jesus is showing us something about the way of Christ. He is showing us that what it means to follow after Christ means surrendering some freedoms. And that is what Jesus calls us to right here, gathered in this congregation, right now, this morning. Notice, first of all, that in this text, we see that we must surrender some freedoms even when onlookers question us. Notice what happens here. It says that when the disciples are coming into Capernaum with Jesus, it says that Peter encounters, and we don't know if Peter is with the other disciples or Peter is walking in the marketplace by himself, but it says that the collectors of the half-shekel tax walked up to Peter. Now, the half-shekel tax was not a tax like we're accustomed to, a tax coming from Jefferson County or from the state of Kentucky or from the federal government. This isn't a government tax. This is a tax that is going out to all Jews to pay for the upkeep of the temple. And you had people who are disputing among themselves as to whether or not you ought to pay that tax every year. The Pharisees said, yeah, you need to every year pay the half shekel tax. Other people are saying, no, you pay it once a year and then it's over with. It's a one-time only tax. Once paid, always paid. And they're disputing back and forth a little bit about this temple tax. And up comes some of the collectors, and they're speaking to Peter, and they say, does your teacher pay? Now, it could be that what they're asking here is simply an innocent question. We just want to know whether or not he pays it. But probably not. After all, these are the people who are charged with collecting this money. And so they're coming up trying to trap Jesus, trying to put him on the defensive, trying to show that he is actually a tax evading insurrectionist. And so they come up to Peter and say, does your teacher, does your rabbi, does he pay the tax? And Peter immediately turns around and says, yes. Peter has no idea what Jesus thinks about this half shekel tax, as we're going to see later on. But Peter, because he's being questioned here by people who are, at least by appearance, enemies of Jesus and enemies of the cause, Peter immediately answers, yes, of course he pays that tax. Peter probably has a little asterisk of his own. Void where necessary, some restrictions apply. I'm going to go back and ask Jesus if he pays this tax or not. Yes, he pays the tax. The questions that are being asked are driving him to answer, even to answer in a way he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know the answer to it. But the questioners themselves are driving him along and driving his agenda. I wonder how often that happens to those of us in this room. I wonder how many of us have our entire lives sometimes kind of determined by other people and by the questions and the attitudes of other people. I love my family. I have a great family. I get along with my family. I have one member of my extended family who drives me crazy. I don't think it's her fault. But there is something in the way that she speaks. There is something about the way that she uses her voice that just grates upon me to my very soul. And she loves to correct whatever it is that people are talking about, even things that don't even make any difference. You may have somebody like this in your family or in your workplace. It's the kind of person that starts off sentences with, actually. Well, actually, and then fills in the rest of the blank. I have found that I will sometimes find myself in my flesh disagreeing with things that she says, things that I agree with. But I disagree with them simply because she is saying them. And she is arguing them. And I finally realized one time when I was in that kind of a mood, I think that she could say, God is good. And I would say, well, not all the time. And it takes a while for me to realize, wait a minute, my entire Christian life and witness here is being shaped by my reaction to her, my reaction to this onlooker by somebody else. That is exactly what is happening here to Peter. Peter is on a mission. He is with Jesus on a mission headed toward Jerusalem. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know exactly what that mission is. But he is not leading an accidental life. Jesus is directing him toward the cross and then toward glory. Jesus has told him that. He hasn't told him what the steps are going to look like. He hasn't told him what the life is going to be like. But he told him we are purposefully going somewhere. And Peter is being diverted here by a question that is coming in that he is not evaluating in terms of the mission. Maybe some of you in exactly the same kind of situation. Maybe some of you in this room who are easily offended by the things that people say to you. You are easily rattled by the things that people say to you. And the reason you're so offended and the reason you're so rattled is because you're in exactly this kind of situation. You do not understand that you are not living an accidental life. You are living in the middle of a dark age. You are living in an evil place, and you are here as a spy for the kingdom of God. You are marking out ahead of time territory that is going to be reclaimed by Jesus, and he has put you here on a mission of representing Jesus. But you, when you lose sight of that, you become so easily distracted and so easily offended because you don't know what's going on. Neither does Peter. And Matthew tells us what happens next. And notice what he shows us. That we need to surrender some freedoms even when we are right. Notice what Peter does. Peter walks back into the house, and Matthew tells us that before he even says anything to Jesus, Jesus speaks first. Peter doesn't even come in and say, "Hey, Jesus, I just said something, and I need you to tell me whether or not I was correct." Jesus answers the question. And he tells it to Peter probably the way he would have told it to the tax collectors. The way Jesus typically does of taking this question and turning everything around. Jesus says, "Let me ask you something, Peter. Let me just see something here. When you look out there at all of the governments out there, you look at all the kings, you look at all the people who gather up taxes, do they tax their own kids? Do they tax the sons of the kingdom? Or do they tax all the regular people?" Peter steps back and thinks about it and says, "Well, Lord, all the kings I've ever seen or heard of, all the emperors I've ever seen or heard of, all the governments I've ever seen or heard of, they exempt their own kids. They tax all the regular people." And Jesus says, "That's exactly right." So what that means then is that the sons are free. What Jesus is saying is, "I'm the Son of God. We are the children of the kingdom. The temple here is the presence of God. The temple houses the glory of God. If we are the children of the kingdom, if we represent the presence of God, then that means we don't need to pay this tax. We are completely free." Peter must have been thinking, "Well, great. We had that whole get behind me Satan thing. Now this, I'm going to have to go back and talk to them and to figure this out." But notice what Jesus is getting at here. The issue is not the legitimacy of your cause. The issue is not whether or not you are right. The issue is the mission of the kingdom. That is what is most important. Jesus is showing here exactly the fact that they do not owe this tax. They do not have to pay this money. Jesus, as the Son of God, is completely free from all of this, but it doesn't matter. There are some of you in here this morning, right now, who are warring and fighting to show that you are right. There are some of you who may have been on the telephone to LG&E this week, warring to show that you are right. There are some of you who have gotten a wrong bill in a restaurant, and you have lashed out at that waiter or that waitress or that restaurant manager. You are going to show and prove that you are in the right. There are some of you in marriages this morning in which both of you are trying to prove, or one of you is trying to demonstrate, that he or she is right about what you're arguing about. There are some of you in here who are children, who are teenagers, who are trying to demonstrate and to show to your parents you actually are right about what you're fighting and arguing about. There are some of you in ABF classes or together in this life of this church that you're trying to show and to demonstrate that you actually are in the right about what it is that you're fighting for, what it is that you want to see done. And in many instances, you are in fact right. You are, in fact, legitimate in what it is that you are saying. And Jesus shows you it doesn't matter. Notice what Jesus does. He turns around and says, we don't owe them this money. But then what does he do? Jesus shows us that we surrender some freedoms because of love of neighbor. What does Jesus do? We don't owe them this tax. But then in verse 27, he says, however, not to give offense to them. Think about that for a minute. Jesus says, I don't want to be a stumbling stone to them. Now, since when is Jesus worried about being offensive to Pharisees? This is the Jesus who says, if you don't chew my skin and drink my blood, you have no life in you. This is the Jesus who says, tear down that temple and in 3 days I will build it back up. This is the Jesus who says, you know what you all are? A bunch of graves filled with rotting bones with Clorox poured over the top of it. Jesus speaks that directly, and yet Jesus here turns around and says, I don't want to give them offense. Why not? Because for Jesus, when you are giving offense, when you are causing someone to stumble, the offense better be him. The offense better be the gospel. The offense better not be anything else at all. Some of you are offensive to your family members and to your co-workers because you believe that Jesus Christ was crucified and raised from the dead. Some of you are offensive to your family members and your co-workers and your neighbors because you believe that the Bible is the Word of God. But some of you may be offensive to your family members and to your neighbors and to your co-workers because you're jerks. Some of you may be offensive because you actually are sometimes even just using the gospel and using Jesus in order to get your way and to get your agenda. Actually, affix your Bible verse here. Jesus says here, though, no. He says the issue here is that we are not going to be offensive about anything else but the gospel itself. There are some things that you have the perfect freedom and right to do. There are some things in which you are clearly and demonstrably in the right. But you are not going to fight for those things. You are going to surrender those things because you love people. Because you don't want to be a stumbling block and an offense to them. What difference does it make if your lights are out an extra week? If it causes you to lose the opportunity to share the gospel with credibility? What difference does it make if you prove to your lost family members that they are wrong about what they believe about this, that, and the other political issue if you lose the credibility to share Jesus Christ with them? What difference does it make in your neighborhood if you maintain all of your rights to your property and to your privacy if you lose the ability to share the gospel in that neighborhood? Jesus says, we don't want to be an offense to them. He says, let's surrender these freedoms so that we can carry out the mission. And then finally, notice what happens. Jesus shows us here that we surrender some freedoms because our God provides. Notice what Jesus says. He says to Peter, I want you to go to the sea. Now for Peter, that makes perfect sense. After all, he's a commercial fisherman. Every tax and every bill he would have ever paid would have been paid by going to the sea. He'd have gone to the sea with a net and he'd have gotten a bunch of fish. He'd have sold those fish, gotten the money to pay for whatever it is he needed, to pay whatever bill that he had due. But Jesus says, no, I don't want you to take a net. He says, I want you to take a hook. I don't want you to fish for a bunch of fish. I want you to go for one particular fish. Then what does he say? He says, the first fish that you have, I want you to gut it. I want you to split that thing open, and you're going to find in there a shekel. That's enough to pay for you and enough to pay for me. He says, God is going to provide this cash that we need to pay this bill so that we can carry out our mission. God provides. Now, our temptation sometimes is to become prosperity gospel people and to say, oh, well, God provides for us because he loves us, and that means that we're just going to be blessed and blessed and blessed, and God's going to give us everything that we need. God doesn't tell you that. God says sometimes that God lets you hunger. Sometimes God lets you thirst. The issue here is that whether God is blessing you or whether God is letting you go through lean times, God is not doing any of it accidentally. God is strategically working in your life, and God knows exactly what you need. He knows what you need to drive you to greater dependence upon Christ. He knows what you need in order to eat. He knows what you need in order to provide for your family. He knows what you need in order to get to work. None of these things escape the mind and the heart of God. God is going to give you exactly what you need to carry out the mission that he has given to you. It could be that you starve to death. But if you starve to death, you are starving to death because God has decided that your starving to death best carries out the mission that he's given to you. But in most cases, what does God do? He gives you the daily bread. He gives you what you need. He gives you what you have to have so that you are not clawing after stuff. You are not fighting for your freedoms because you trust and you understand, I'm not like everybody else out there warring for what I have to have. I have a Father that I ask, and my Father hears. Jesus says to Peter, we don't want to give offense to them. Go and get this fish and open this fish up and find this money. Why? Does Jesus always make sure that Peter is comfortable? Peter is going to himself be gutted. Peter is going to be crucified hanging upside down. But Peter is not going to be crucified one nanosecond before God intends for him to be handed over. Jesus needs Peter later on, and he provides for Peter right now. There are some of y'all in this room right now who are just clinging to your rights, sometimes even your rights before God. You are bitter in your heart because you think that God owes you something, or you think that the people around you owe you something, or you think that your family owes you something, and you are holding on and you are clinging to those freedoms and those rights. Repent of that. See yourself as a kingdom ambassador, as a kingdom emissary, as somebody who is going out with a purpose. And there are others of you in this room whose problem is even deeper. It's not just that you want to be free. It's not just that you want to maintain your freedom. You want your freedom from God. You want to escape from the sight of God. What I want to say to you this morning is that the only way that you will find peace is if you look to Christ. The Jesus who paid this tax for Peter is going to pay an even greater debt for you and for Peter and for the whole world. He is going to have laid upon him all of the sin of all of the world. He is going to be crucified in the place of sinners. He is going to become a cold, dead corpse. Jesus doesn't deserve death. Jesus has the right to be free from death. But Jesus takes all of that upon himself for you and for me and for the world. And then he is raised from the dead. And this Jesus, who doesn't cling to his freedom, but who becomes a slave and who becomes a servant, calls you to come. And what he calls you to do is to stop fighting and to stop agitating and to stop holding on to your freedoms and holding on to your rights, and to get up and to walk and to follow after him in slavery to Christ. He says, and what happens when you do that is you find freedom, and freedom indeed. Let's pray. Like every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe some of you in this room who even right now you are clinging to your rights and clinging to your responsibilities, you're clinging to your freedom, you're clinging to who you are and what you're owed, I just ask you to let go of those things right now. Our ushers are coming forward to take up an offering here in a few moments. I want to ask you to think right now. As we go through this time of offering, I want you to think about whether not you have ever experienced the freedom that comes in Christ. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're able to say, you know what? It seems to me right now, Brother Moore, that the Holy Spirit is convicting me, and I'm just being shown that I'm not a child of God. I'm not a child of the kingdom. I'm nothing but a slave to myself. Just pray right now where you are. Lord, have mercy upon me in Christ. He'll hear you. I promise you. Look to Jesus. He will hear you this morning. Maybe others of you in this room right now who you've been clinging to your prerogatives. You need to repent of that. We're about to come to the Lord's table in just a few minutes. There may be maybe some of you in this room who have feelings of bitterness and hardness against other people in this congregation. You need to let that go right now this morning. Maybe others of you in here who are holding on to some unrepentant sin. Repent of that this morning. Be free of that this morning. If you need to come up here and to pray on these steps before this congregation, come on up and pray. There will be people who will pray with you right now during this offering. Nobody is going to think anything of that other than that the Holy Spirit is working. Maybe others of you who you've not been having broken hearts for lost family members and friends and co-workers. You've not seen yourself as on mission, and you need to come and pray for them right now. We invite you to come too. Above all, examine, evaluate, find freedom. Let's pray. Father, we ask that this offering that we're going to give to you right now, Father, we pray that we would recognize and know that just like Peter paying that shekel, Father, we didn't come up with any of this. You gave every bit of it to us. And Father, we're just giving it back to you in gratitude. Father, I pray that while this offering plate is going around, Father, if there's anybody in this room who is outside of Christ, let that person know it right now. Father, if there's anybody in this room who needs to follow Jesus in baptism, let that person know right now. If there's anybody who needs to join this fellowship and join this church, Father, let them know. Put that on their mind, in the forefront of their mind. Father, if there's anybody in this room who needs to repent or needs to seek help, who has any decision at all to make, Father, we ask that you would let them know, that you'd give them boldness and courage and freedom. And we ask this in Jesus' name.